Call Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 1:34, March 25th. Present Chairman Stedman, Chairman Olson, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick is online, Senator Kaufman, Senator Kronk, myself, Senator Hoffman. We have a quorum to do business. The item on our agenda that we had technical difficulties this morning was a presentation by Robin Brenna. Please identify yourself and proceed with your presentation, Mr. Brenna.
Thank you, Chairman, and members of the committee, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Robin Brenna. I'm the owner of the law firm of Brenna, Bell, and Walker, and I'm an Alaskan, grew up in Alaska, and have been litigating major oil and gas and taxation cases for decades. I want to be clear that I'm generally a pro-industry Alaskan that thinks that's what's good for the oil industry in Alaska is good for Alaska. And I have spent most of my career representing the industry in major cases. I've probably done 400 or 500 major cases on behalf of the industry. I've represented every drilling contractor in Alaska, the largest independent oil producer in Alaska, the largest oil refiner in Alaska, and they've been my clients for decades. I also represent taxing authorities. The guiding principle that I have is that I think that our tax system with regard to oil should be fair to Alaskans and should be fair to the industry. I feel like I'm a passenger on the Titanic, and I've been asked to talk about what the dinner menu should be. We have a massive gapping revenue hole in the hull of Alaska. And as a result of the passage of Senate Bill 21, we do not have a fair deal for Alaskans, and it's dramatically out of balance. We get a little over half of what other states do. We do the worst job of any major oil resource region or country or state in the world in terms of realizing value for our oil. Far less than Texas or North Dakota, far less than any other nation. I think that probably Russia and Iran do better than Alaska does. Every major resource owner and taxing authority in the world does better than we do. And we need to start to correct that. We do today far worse than our average. Just as a point of reference, if you just take a look at how much in royalties and production taxes we collect in relation to the gross revenues that are received from oil, we have historically gotten about 27% on average over the 35 years before Senate Bill 21 was passed. Since it was passed, we've received 16.5%, 17.5%. The difference between those numbers is massive to us. To put it in some illustration, 5 years before Senate Bill 21 was passed, our current tax regime, under the production tax side, we brought in $19 billion in those 5 years. 5 years after Senate Bill 21 was passed, our production tax regime ended up, we owed $1 billion. We had a $20 billion swing at the passage of the act with the 5 years before and the 5 years after. As a result of this massive gaping hole in the hull of our revenue, we've been in a recession. The only oil region in the world in a recession. We've been losing jobs. We've been losing our youth who can't afford to stay and can't find jobs in Alaska. Our education system is becoming one that parents no longer want their children to be educated in. Our university system has effectively been gutted. Our state fair system is effectively gone. And pensions are refunded to a massive degree. We have deferred maintenance of a couple billion dollars in Alaska. We've exhausted about $20 billion in savings, just trying to make ends meet. And it was interesting for me to listen to the presentation by the Permanent Fund spokesman. We have had a major shift from where our royalties and production taxes used to pay for about 150 to 200% of the state budget. Now they fund a small fraction, and we're primarily funded from our Permanent Fund. Our Permanent Fund, if it's going to be a solvent wealth fund, needs to be two or three times bigger than it is. Our permanent fund dividends are no longer what they should be. We don't have capital budgets anymore in Alaska, and there hasn't been a major project in Alaska for a very long time. So I guess from my point of view, the solutions that this committee should consider should measure up to the challenges that you face. And I'm not sure that they do. In order to have the solutions measure up to the nature of the problems that Alaska's confronting, there are certain things that we need to have. First, we need transparency of information so we know how our fields are doing. I don't see how it's possible for the legislature or Alaskans to have a reasonable conversation about what oil policy should be when they actually don't know how the fields are actually performing on a field-by-field basis. To be frank, Alaska isn't even a player in its own major resource. Every other oil region, Norway, Saudi Arabia, Brazil, they all have companies, they have sophisticated teams, they have oil companies, they put together projects, they coordinate and lead the industry. We don't do any of those things. In order for us to be proper stewards for our resources, we need transparent information on how the resource is doing. We need a team of people that know what they're doing, and we need the legislative courage to get back at least to our average collections of gross that we had for 35 years before this one very bad bill was passed. I'd like to give you just a few examples of areas that I would suggest that you consider after transparency, because no change can be sustainable unless Alaskans know what the actual numbers are for how their resources are actually performing in the marketplace. The credits, we provide credits. The last time I checked, I think we had given out $5.6 billion worth of credits under the production side, and we've only received in total $4.5 billion in taxes. We actually given out more credits than we got in production taxes. To use 2021 as an example, for Prudhoe Bay, which is the only field in Alaska that we have individual field information on. In 2021, there was $106 million of capital spent by the industry in Prudhoe Bay, and we gave out $399 million of credits for the production at Prudhoe Bay. We gave out effectively $4 of our tax revenue for every dollar of capital that was invested in the Prudhoe Bay field. You don't have to speak very long to understand that I'm a businessman too, I would love to have $4 for every dollar of capital I spend in Alaska. It is a massive waste of our resources to give credits away that are four times greater than the actual capital being spent. The policy with regard to credit use or any tax benefit, it should be to encourage behavior that's not required by law or contract. All the behavior that the credits are intended to encourage are required by law and contract now, and they don't get anything out of any of them. Credits shouldn't be permitted if the project is otherwise economic to go forward. Every credit that we give is for projects that would otherwise economically move forward. Credits are a mistake to give if the benefits exceed the credits. We give billions of dollars away in credits, and so far as I can determine at least, we haven't gotten a single job or a single barrel of oil more produced, because all of those jobs and all of those barrels that were produced were necessary to be produced and would have been produced anyway. To be reasonable or rational, credit should be linked to specific behavior. And usually a credit is linked, we will give you a credit as a percentage of the capital you invest. Under the prior tax regime, they gave 25% of the capital as a credit in our fields. I just mentioned that in certain situations, we're giving 400%. So my first suggestion is that the credits be linked to some intended purpose. And they should be linked to the spending of capital. They should be linked to the creation of jobs. We shouldn't give away a billion or $1.5 billion of credit a year and not get a single job or a single additional barrel of oil out of the deal. My first suggestion specifically is that we should cap the credits at 50% of the amount of capital spent for the field that generated the credit. The farmer tax regime gave a 25% credit. We could double that credit. In the case of crude oil for 2021, the example I used, instead of giving $400 million of credits in 2021, if we would have given 50% of the capital that they spent in that field, they would have gotten $50 million. There should be some link between giving a tax break and getting the behavior that we want. And the behavior that we want is the spending of capital in that field or job creation, and we're not getting either for our credits in crude oil bid. The second thing I'd say is there's no reason for credits at all for the most part, and they should be phased out at about $40 or $45 a barrel. The fields are economically viable. They're legally required to produce them under the terms of their contracts. They would be developed anyway. If there is a challenge to a field, they have the right to come in and demonstrate that their economics are challenged and request a reduction in the royalty rates. And they don't do that because they're not able to demonstrate that there needs to be a reduction in the royalty rates. But we give away credits without even knowing what purpose they serve and without them accomplishing any possible purpose. So I would phase out all credits at between $40 and $45 a barrel of oil. There is the existing credit system is $8 a barrel. There shouldn't be any credits given on major legacy fields that produced oil for 35 years without any credits. Why are we giving away $8 on fields that produced for 35 years? You do not give tax credits for something that's already going on when you're giving a tax credit. That makes no sense at all. So particularly on the legacy fields, which is Prudhoe, Kuparuk, and Alpine, the the credit should be eliminated or reduced down substantially to $2 or $3 a barrel and eliminated completely as soon as it's clear that there's sufficient crude oil price for the economics of the field to continue to produce. So those are some of my suggestions on how to make the credits at least rational or at least linked to some behavior that benefits some Alaskans somehow, rather than just giving away public funds in hundreds of millions of dollars for no understandable policy or purpose. The GDR is just a tax giveaway for new oil. I'm sympathetic to their fields, but that doesn't mean that we should just give away revenue that hasn't been demonstrated to be necessary to bring those fields online. The Willow and Pekka fields were fields that were on the books before the new tax regime came in. They were on the books under the old tax regime that got substantially greater production revenues. And there is no reason to start giving away additional revenue unnecessarily. The floor, you heard about the floor. The floor, 4 to 6%. It doesn't matter what the floor is if it's not a hard floor. You need to have a hard floor if you're going to have production taxes at all. The idea that someone can go and subtract the capital and expenses associated with an unrelated field from Pluto or another already producing field is inconsistent with market forces and completely unnecessary. People should subtract their expenses when they realize revenue from those fields. The concept that I'm talking about is a ring fencing concept. If what we do is start kicking that revenue can down the road at every new field, what happens is that the industry is taking their cut now and our cut is being moved forward. And that just keeps happening and happening and happening. And the next one will be after Willow and Pekka, the next one will be at Anwar. And at the end of the day, Alaskan's share is being kicked down the road while the industry share is being taken home. And we need to start taking home Alaska's share, or at the end of the road, there won't be a share for Alaskans at all. The 15 cents a barrel that's under consideration, I don't see any reason in the world to restrict it just to the Dalton Highway at all, and I don't see why it would be so little. We just need a road system that supports all Alaskans, not just the industry. One other point I want to be absolutely clear on is we need revenue, that is clear. The source of the revenue that you select will have a massive impact on the Alaskan economy. If your source of your revenue is from Alaskans, then you have a bucket that has so much money in it, and you're just redistributing money from the private sector to the public sector, and that will result in less economic activity in Alaska. So if you want to turn $1 billion of state revenue into $800 million collected from Alaskans through a sales tax, through an income tax, through a mechanism from Alaskans, if what you can do is capture more of the value of our oil that's leaving the state, then you're not taxing Alaskans, you're bringing new revenue that would have left the state into the bucket. And if you do that, it will have a multiplier effect of, I've seen several multiplier effects, as low as 5 and as high as 20. But let me just say 5. When you bring new money in from eliminating the credits, for example, or ring fencing, for example, then the consequence of that is new money into Alaska that will bounce around our bucket and add to our economic wealth. If you raise $1 billion from eliminating credits that will have the economic effect in our economy of at least $5 billion, and we will be in an economic boom, and there will be sufficient revenue for all of the things that we lack revenue for now in Alaska. If you choose to get that $1 billion from Alaskans, then you will have turned the $1 billion into $800 million of economic activity, and Alaska will be even further hurt than it has been already by this gaping hole and inefficiency in our revenue stream in Alaska, because we have not, we've done the worst job of anybody in the world at getting a fair value for our oil from our royalties and production taxes. I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you for that presentation. Do members of the Senate Finance Committee have questions of Mr. Brenna? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brenna, you mentioned ring fencing as one possibility. Are there other methods that you would recommend we look at when it that would let our tax code differentiate between some of those legacy fields with comparatively much lower costs to produce and some of the high-cost oil or the new fields that folks would like to bring online?
Yes. And in fact, just to be clear, Prudhoe Bay is probably, in industry's annual reports, they refer to most of Alaska crude oil as low-cost oil. Prudhoe Bay is between $20 and $25 a barrel all in to produce and ship through the pipeline and ship by tanker to the lower 48 to the marketplace. Right now it's getting, what, $90 a barrel? And so you have a $65 a barrel margin, and you're giving away $8 credits for that. Something that would obviously happen even if they weren't contractually obligated to produce it, which they are. So I think that focusing on the three major legacy fields, which is Prudhoe, Kuparuk, and Alpine, there is no reason for credits on those fields. They have been producing for years. The margins are more than adequate, and if they're not, they can come in and request a reduction to the royalties, but it isn't even close now. We used to get $12 a barrel, and now we're getting about $2 a barrel out of our barrels. So, yeah, I think I generally favor the idea of helping out getting fields started, but they go through a cycle, and our legacy fields are cash cow fields. We have the largest, most profitable field in North America in Prudhoe, and the third largest and one of the highly profitable fields in Kuparuk. And we need to understand each of those fields, but they're in their cash cow phase for Alaska. We cannot kick our revenue away down the road, because we need to realize that now it can't be siphoned off by other projects. But so I think you need to have ring fencing for most of these things to work. And I think that the tax structure for a fully producing legacy field, I think it should be a cash cow for Alaskans, not just the industry. And so I think if you're going to give breaks to new fields, that's kind of one thing, if they can demonstrate that they need it. But frankly, I haven't seen the fields that needed it, and the major fields that are coming online in the next 5 years are fields that came online under economic analysis under the old tax regime.
Senator Keel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Keel. Are there further questions of Mr. Brenna? Thank you, Mr. Brenna. That was very informative to the committee, and I'm sure it was informative to the audience, listening audience as well. With that, we will set Senate Bill 222. two aside, that concludes this afternoon's agenda. We have for tomorrow, our next meeting scheduled for 9 a.m. We will be hearing three pieces of legislation. Senate Bill 21, Alaska Work and Save Program. Senate Bill 55, TRS Contribution Rate, PERS/TERS Social Security, or SBS. And finally, Senate Bill 196, Behavioral Health Crisis Surcharge and Funds. We also will be adding previous bills to be heard, possibly a CS for House Bill 78. With that, we are adjourned.